Jude. No chapters, just verses, and we're in verse 24 and 25, wrapping it up this morning. Can I say thank you to our team? Let's thank our team for leading us in worship. Haven't had a chance. We've been so busy lately. Haven't had a chance just to welcome some new members. Have you noticed new faces? We had Adam on the far, your far left today. He's shadowing with another bass player. We don't usually have two bass players, but we did that on purpose so Adam can kind of check things out. So Adam's joining us. Did you see Steve Jansen on lead guitar? He's the one with all the toys on the floor. Guitar players like that kind of stuff. Good addition. Scott was with us a couple of weeks ago. Scott, wave your hand there. Yep, Scott's playing guitar for us. We've added a lot of new people and a lot of new faces. That's exciting that people want to be a part of what we're doing here at Oakwood. And if you have those hidden talents, let us know. Piano players, yeah, we're losing one. We're going down one with Gabe heading off this week, right? You're heading off to school. So we're down a keyboard player. And I know there are keyboard players. Somebody needs to turn them in. Usually people don't like to admit it, but somebody needs to just go ahead and turn them in. So anyways, we're glad that you're here with us. Let me do a couple quick things. Just number one, say, hello, how are we doing? We doing okay? You doing all right? Has it been a good summer? I truly hope it has been a good summer for you and your family. I'd ask you to be praying for my daughter, Emily. She's last trimester, 8 weeks before we have a grandbaby. She's experiencing really bad back pain. We're not going to say it's hereditary, but she has a sciatica issue. It's not her daddy. I didn't make her have that. I have my own issues, but it's with the baby. It's been really, really bad. She ended up in the ER this weekend. So just pray for her. 8 more weeks. That's a long time. Sorry. Daddies are always daddies. I'll get it. Kyle, could you have somebody bring me water? That'd be good. I appreciate that. Beyond that, I appreciate so much the SOS. You showed up. It's a great thing to be a pastor at a church. And if you're new, they call me PD. I'm Pastor Jackson. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. But it was so good to be able to be gone. I had to be gone this weekend. I had an out-of-town wedding, but they pressed ahead with the SOS. We were worried about the rain, and yet you guys came and finished the projects. And I guess as you were cleaning up, the rain started. So we're thankful for that. And we're so thankful that we have people at Oakwood that can just carry things on, doesn't always have to have a pastor. I would have loved to have been there. Those of you who are working hard saying, where is pastor? I usually am at every one of our things, but sometimes I can't. So thank you for those people doing that. And then we really want to hit those Discover Oakwood. If you're kind of newish, if you're even thinking about membership at some point, Discover Oakwood is one of those mandatory things that we ask for people who are coming to membership. You don't have to come into membership if you attend a Discover Oakwood. It's an opportunity for you to get to know more about who we are. And the most important thing is it's your opportunity to ask questions of the pastors and the elders. There's not many times where you can just have a session with us and ask anything you want. So if you want to know where we stand on certain things, that's a great place to do that. So sign up for that if you're interested at all, especially with children. We got to make sure we have childcare for all those coming. So do that. And then, okay, Pastor Ted mentioned it, baptism. Some people keep saying, I'm going to wait till we do an outdoor one. I want to do one in a lake, not in that tank. I get it. Well, it's here. So no more pausing, no more waiting. I want you to jump in and let's just do this. It's after we go back to two services. So be prepared for that. It's going to be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll have church, two services, and then we'll all meet at Stony Lake. Everybody's invited to come. And then, of course, Ted mentioned this is something new. We typically at this time of year have our worship in the park, or we do something out of the walls. We haven't gotten anything worked out for that. So I decided just to add a prayer night for going back to school. It affects so many people. And this is not just for OSM, our Oakwood Student Ministries. Of course, we want them here. But if you've got kids going into kindergarten all the way through college age, it's going back to school time, right? And so we want the students. We want the parents. We want all teachers. Anybody that works in the schools at all, maybe administration, whatever. We want you all here for just a very casual time of prayer. We'll plan on doing it inside unless it's a gorgeous night. We might go out by the bonfire and do some prayer there. It'll be an hour less of prayer, and then there's going to be some food just to socialize and gather around that. Yeah, if you don't have kids in school anymore, isn't it great? But if you don't have kids in school anymore and you want to come pray for those, that would be awesome. It's not just for students, parents, and teachers, although we really want them there. Anybody can attend 6 o'clock next Sunday night. Real casual, just a time of prayer. I would love to have some students share like what's on their minds that they need prayer for. I'd love to have parents say, hey, this is, as a parent, this is what I want you to pray for me for. I would love to have our teachers and workers in the school to also say, hey, please pray for me in this way. We want to be specific. We really want to cover the students and parents and teachers and administrations all in prayer. So join us for that. Something new we haven't done that we're looking forward to do. Boy, I hope I've covered it all. Are we ready to get to Jude? Let's pray together. Pray with me. If you would be so kind, you don't have to say anything out loud, but would you just pray this prayer? God, since there's something you want me to hear, I am willing to listen. Just give that prayer to God. God, since there's something you want me to hear, I am willing to listen. And God, we do pray that you would be glorified, that people hearing this would be edified, and that Satan would be horrified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the book of Jude. At first, I thought it would be one message, and then it turned out to be three or four, but we're wrapping it up today. Wolves in sheep's clothing, the book of Jude. The main points, the things that we've been talking about, and it's not clicking for me, so if you could help me out there. Key thoughts in the whole book: contend for the faith, watch out for wolves, build your faith strong, be merciful but direct. Praise God for persevering us. That's where we're at in this book of Jude. We hope that you've been serious in thinking about, like, what is my responsibility? Because most of Jude has been about your responsibility. Are you aware of false teaching? Do you understand what's true and what's man-made? You need to know these things. Are you ready to stand and contend for the faith? Don't just fall for anything. Always take it through the sift of God's word. Always take everything through God's word. As a pastor, I urge you to take what I preach, take it home and look it up. You know, make sure that I'm on track. We want you to always be looking to the final say. The final say is not a man's interpretation. The final say is, what does God say in his word? You need to be prepared to do that. That's one of our tasks. Be ready. It concerns me when Christians, not picking on Oakwood, I'm thinking globally, it concerns me that Christians sometimes come off as naive and fall for anything. It concerns me when I see Christians are the ones that are most caught up in conspiracy theories. It just bothers me. Some of you might be those kind of people. God bless you. I love you. But if you tell me your weird conspiracy theories, I'm just going to go. If pastor's ever looking at you and just nodding, it doesn't mean I agree. It's mostly because I'm saying, you're weird. You know. Here's what concerns me. When we get caught up in these weird conspiracy theories, people discount us and what we think and say. You go around telling people it's a flat earth. You go around telling people that we didn't really land on the moon. It was made up. And some of you are like, uh-oh, now he's getting serious. I'm not. I'm just telling you. We got all these weird thoughts. Why? It bothers me. Why are Christians the ones that go down those paths? Why are Christians following people that get up on stage, these celebrity pastors? Look up Pastors in Sneakers. It's a website about these pastors that are so famous, they're wearing $100,000 pair of shoes. And they got a whole website dedicated to all these pastors. They got pictures of all these pastors wearing all these fancy clothes and all these expensive things. And I'm like, why? Why are Christians following these people? What's wrong with us? Why do we follow ungodly leaders and treat them as deity? We should not be swept away. We shouldn't be so easily swept away in our allegiance and trust. Trust God's word. I don't want to say doubt humans, but be careful. Be careful with humans. Don't always just give them absolute, like, oh, I trust them with everything. There's no way I'm ever going to. No, look it up. Verify. Be careful. And I think that's what Jude was pointing that out to the church in his day and age and pointing to a time when things would be even worse. And I think we're there. I think we're at those times where people are being swept away into weird thoughts, silly nonsense, and it consumes them. We as Christians should be consumed with the gospel, amen? That should consume us, that people need Jesus. That should consume us. These other things that we get so involved in, we should watch and be careful. The good news is where we're at in the book of Jude, we've got toward the very end. Go ahead and hit it for me. When I do this, just help me out. So the big idea today is keep the faith by trusting God to keep you. We come to these last two verses. Some would think, well, this is just the doxology. This is just a benediction. Yeah, but it's really good. And so we want to take some time on these two verses today. Let me read them. You follow along. Hopefully you've got to Jude. Again, go to Revelation, turn left, and you'll be right there with us. Jude 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God and our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So we see some things here. This is a doxology. This is Jude's closing. And a doxa means glory. Everybody say glory. Now let's do it like a church should do it. Glory. Glory is how we say it. This is ascribing glory to God at the close of this book. It's a short hymn of praise to God. What's so interesting about that is we come to this passage and it's a call to praise God. He closes the whole book after harping and harping and harping about false teachers. There's wolves out there. Be aware. Contend for the faith. And then he shifts and he simply says, now to him. That's huge. Because we have totally changed directions now. The focus has been on our responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. It's our responsibility, not only individually, but corporately. So together we're responsible for one another. You're responsible for yourself, but we are responsible for one another. And remember last week we learned exactly what we're supposed to do. Those different groups of people. We've got to love and be merciful, but direct. And make sure we contend for the true faith, right? Even all the way to those false teachers who are all the way gone. We show mercy, but mixed with fear, caution, right? Don't get swept into it. Nobody is out of reach of God changing them. So we've been focused on our responsibility. And now Jude simply says, let's talk about God. Isn't that good? I'm so glad Jude ended this way. Instead of me thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to be on my guard. I've got to be worried. That's all true. But there's good news at the end of this book. It's not all up to you. You've got a God who is preserving you. That's good news, guys. That's good news. So here's what he says. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his glorious presence without fault. I love that. Three reasons to praise God today. Are you ready? Write them down. Three reasons to praise God. Number one, God is able to keep me from stumbling. God is able. Well, I got news for you. First thing, we are not. In your own power, you are not able to keep yourself from stumbling. We are stumbling, mumbling people. Amen? Anybody stubbed their toe lately? Oh, I love summertime, but I wear my UFOs. I love my UFO sandals. Boy, but when I catch my toe, it hurts. You catch it and go, oh, and I stumble. I meant to do that. I did that in Walmart the other day. Took a big stumble, but I just ended it with like, the Olympics. I meant to do that. Hey, we stumble. We mumble. I was just with my folks. Love my mom and dad. Had opportunity to go help my mom and dad with some project. My dad is so unbalanced. He's so unbalanced. He gets up and you're like, whoa, because he gets his equilibrium. You're like, okay. As Christians, we're a lot like that. We do okay, but at times we stumble. That's okay, Christian. It's not the end of the world, because God is able to keep you from stumbling. It is in his power, not your power. So as you read this whole book, and you're alarmed because, wow, there's false teachers, there's wolves. Yeah, but take a deep breath. Don't forget God in this equation. God is involved. We're not able on our own power, but the word for keep also means that God guards. So we're going to keep the faith by trusting him to keep us, right? That's what I just shared with you. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Isn't that great? The Bible's so clear. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you. It's not in your own power, because in your own power you will fail. But he promises to strengthen you and to keep you. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is his great mercy. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Some great words. We are shielded by God's power. You can't do it alone. Good news is God is there and he guards you. He is shielding you. You're not left alone to your own devices. 2, God is able to present me into his presence without fault. Have you ever just stopped and thought about that? Jude is praising God, doxology, glory to God, that he presents you as blameless. Now, some of you, firstborns probably, pretty close, right? You're doing pretty good. Babies of the family, blameless, that just doesn't go together, right? Babies of the family, are any babies of the family here? Amen. Not used often when talking about me or any baby of the family, blameless, right? Middle children, you're sitting there thinking, he forgot us again. Relax, middle children, relax. You're not blameless either. Firstborns aren't blameless either. There is nobody that can actually claim to be blameless. And yet here Jude reminds us, God is able to present you in his presence blameless. Wow. That's huge. You ought to leave today saying, I'm good. Because we stand blameless. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And then in chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. The Bible is very clear. It's not on your own power. It's not in your own might. But if you have faith, God saves. Amen? It's God that saves, and he's capable. It's him that will present you blameless. Now, those of you who've been at Oakwood, you know where I'm going to go next, because you've heard this story a dozen times. But it's my favorite story about being declared blameless when you're not. I got in a car accident years ago. Driving back to the school, won't tell the whole story, but it snowed. It was really snowy, and I caught slickery outside, and they hadn't plowed some of the inside streets, and I'm coming through this neighborhood trying to get back to the school. I'd forgot Josh. I had to go back and pick him up, and so I'm coming back to the school, running late, trying to hurry. I come toward this stop sign. I was driving a big truck, and I start hitting my brakes, and the truck's just gliding. It didn't slow down at all. It almost picked up speed when I hit the brakes, like, okay, no, we're going, and then I looked, and I saw her. Teenage girl in a brand new red sports car, and she's coming this way, and I'm, you know, everything, have you been in an accident? Everything goes in slow motion just for a little bit, and here she comes, this fancy, shiny red car, and I'm like hitting my truck, and I look at her, and I was like, I can't stop, and she goes, ah, and I came through that stop sign, and I plowed into this car. My truck went on top of the hood and ate it, and then bounced back, and it wasn't done. It decided to scraped down the whole side. It was awful. Finally came to a stop, and I ran over to the car. I said, "Are you okay?" And she's crying. She goes, "I just got this car. My dad's going to kill me." And she's like, "But I'm okay, Petey." I'm like, "Oh, no, she knows me." I'm like, "Oh, no." And then I realized, "Oh, no, they're a family that had kind of come to our church a little bit." I'm like, "Oh, no." And she says, "I'm scared to call my dad." I said, "I'll tell you what, I know your dad. Give me your phone. Let's call your dad." So she dials her dad, and he, when he answers, I have the phone. He's like, "Hi, sweetheart." I'm like, "No, not sweetheart. It's PD. He goes, "Oh, PD, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I ran into your daughter." He goes, "Oh, good." I'm like, no, "I ran into your daughter." I said, "It's not good. Your car's probably totaled, and it's on me." He's like, "We'll work it out. We got insurance. Don't worry." Well, the cops came. The liaison officer at the school, actually. And I notice as we're trying to make sure she's okay, getting her a ride home, the truck's coming to take her car away. I notice that the cop is pacing back and forth, talking to himself. And as I get close, he's saying, "I can't give him a ticket. This is terrible." And I'm like, "What's wrong?" He goes, "I have to give you a ticket." I said, "I know you do. You should." He goes, "No, I can't do that. I can't give Pastor a ticket. I'm going to take this back to the..." And they're all going to say, "You gave Pastor a ticket. This is..." I said, "Just relax. It's going to be okay. Let's write me the ticket." And I had to walk him through it. Just breathe. Write the ticket. And as he's writing, he's like, "This is so wrong. You got to fight this. This road is too slickery. They should have plowed it. You gotta fight this. Take this to court." I'm like, "No, it's me. I was going too fast. It was my problem. It's my fault." He goes, "No, I want you to fight this." I didn't think much about it until time came. I had to either pay the fine or, you know, write an ex. So I wrote an explanation saying, "Well, the police officer told me I shouldn't, put up with this day. I'm going to try to fight this." And then I get a summons to court. I'm like, "What? I didn't know it was that serious. I had to go stand in front of a judge." Oh, didn't want to do that. I'm just so guilty. What am I going to do? Say I didn't do it? No, I did it. I show up to court, and there's one person in the courtroom. There's nobody in the little plastic chairs out in the waiting room, but the door is cracked open to the courtroom. And I sit down in my plastic chair, and I hear this fight. The woman before me was fighting a ticket. She had been on the same road on the same day and hit somebody. And the conversation went like this: "Ma'am, you're going to have to pay this fine." "I'm not going to pay that fine." "Ma'am, were you driving there?" "Yes, but the road was slickery." "Ma'am, if you're driving the car, it's your responsibility." And it kept getting heated. "I'm not going to pay this fine." "You're going to pay the fine or I'm going to put you in jail." "I'm not paying this fine. You were the one responsible." And then she gets up and she runs out. She just leaves. Now it's just me. And the judge picks his head through the door and he goes, "Are you Don Jackson?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Come here." We walked in the courtroom. He walked behind his big desk, and I stood before him, and he looked at me, and he scribbled something. He goes, "Dismissed." I said, "What?" He goes, "This is dismissed." He was still fuming about this girl before me, and I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I don't understand." He goes, "Listen, the police officer that was supposed to come to court today, he called and said he was not coming. So there's nobody here that can give you any evidence against you. So you're innocent, Don. It's dismissed." I was like, "Wow." I started to walk away when it just bothered me. And I turned around and I looked at the judge. I said, "Sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but there is somebody here today that knows exactly what happened. I was driving my truck. The road was slick. I was going too fast. I slid through the stop sign and I hit that girl. This is my fault." And he looked at me over his big desk and he said, "Don, you're really bad at this." He said, "I have declared that this didn't happen. It's over. Go away." And I took my ticket with the big words "dismissed" on it and I walked to my car. It was the weirdest walk. I'd just been let off the hook. I should have been happy as a clam. I should have been just like no worries in the world, like got off again. No. I went to my car and I said, "It just isn't right." He just declared me innocent when I know that I'm guilty. And that moment for me really sums up the results of the gospel. None of us can claim on our own to be blameless. We're guilty. We have sin. We're born with a sin problem, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we choose sin too. So by birth and by choice, we are sinners. We're not blameless. Yet God, in his mercy, sent Jesus. And Jesus, the righteous one, died on the cross for the unrighteous ones, us, full of blame. He took that blame. And the Bible says in a really weird passage of scripture that on the cross that day there was a list. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a list. And it was a list of all of your sins, your sins, my sins. It's all documented. But God says he took that list and he erased it. Because Jesus paid it all. That is an amazing thing. And I don't want you ever to forget that, believer. If you're a follower of Jesus, yes, we stand blameless. But we know that we're sinners, but we're saved by grace. What a beautiful thing. So we should be thankful to God for that. Not only do we stand blameless, but don't pass over this. We stand blameless in God's presence. God is holy. He is the holy. Holy means there is no sin. There is no sin in God. And we stand before the Holy One, and he calls us holy. Wow. He declares us blameless. That's only what God can do. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Friends, we should praise God because he presents us blameless in his presence. Wow. I love that. I hope you love that. Third reason to praise God. God is able to save me for his joy and for my great joy. There's a little controversy here. I don't know if it's much or if it's just in my head. But in that first verse, 24, let me read it. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Had to look this up. Is it his joy or is it my joy? I couldn't pick, so I think it's both. I think it's both. It has to be our great joy because we have nothing else but joy, being sinners saved by grace, not living up to that standard and yet declared perfect and pure. Wow, that is joy. I have nothing to fear. Thank you, Jesus. But I think there's a component here that God saves us for his great joy. Do you know that? Your God loves you so much that he sent Jesus and it brings him joy. Hear me now, because when I was a young person growing up in the church, I thought God hated me. I was always told that we, you know, sin, watch out for sin. And oh man, I was a rambunctious kid, and I was full of caffeine and whatever else I was putting in my body at the time, making terrible choices, and I just thought, man, God hates me. I am awful. I'm a rebel. He must hate me. It wasn't until I went off to college that I finally realized how much God actually loved me. He doesn't despise you. He's not saving you angry at you. He's saving you with great joy. When he declares you righteous and pure and blameless, he does so with joy. So I believe that God is able to save me for his joy and for my great joy. We are blessed with the joy of his salvation. Psalm 16 is a beautiful little passage, 8 through 11, says this, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Everybody say joy. Be ready, because we're going to start a study in Philippians after Labor Day, and the whole thing is joyful. Joyful. We have so much. Christian, I hope that you're living in joy of your salvation, knowing that God rejoices in your salvation. It should bring us to joy. So we bring it, we're supposed to praise God. There's three reasons why we praise God. But who is this God we praise? According to Jude, he says the only God. Did you catch that in there when Jude said, he's like, the only God. Let's not be confused, anyone. There is no other God. There are false gods, but there is no other God. There's no competition. It's God and God alone. He is the only God. Amen? Amen. Jude points that out. Do you know him? Nehemiah 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you, because you are God alone. There is only one God. Also, Jude says, he's our Savior. I love how he points that out. There is one God, and that God is Savior. Do you know him as that? Titus 3, 3 through 6. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you know him? Do you notice that several times today we've seen the same phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you put your faith in God through Jesus Christ? Have you asked God to save you through Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to forgive your sins through Jesus Christ? God is the only God, and he is the Savior, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if you haven't met him, if you don't know him, then let today be your day of joy. Surrender your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and come into your life as Savior. And then join us in baptism that's coming up soon. What a great opportunity to declare to the world that God has made me new. Make sure you talk to us if you want to do that. So why is God to be praised? And who is this God we're to praise? And then there's a declaration of praise. Are you ready? We're going to wrap it up. A couple quick things. He talks about glory. Everybody say glory. Glory. Now you did it in the old school way. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
That's better. Glory is a great word. Jude wraps this up with some terms just to remind us about the God we should praise. And he's the God of glory. What does that mean? It means highest honor. It's highest honor is ascribed to God. The nearest thing I could think of, because I just did a wedding, is my favorite part of every wedding. I mean, it's, I know you can get your Cracker Jack box ordination and do weddings yourself someday. If you do, you're stealing my job, by the way. But if you do, the best part of every wedding is when that bride comes in. Now, you need to know, I tell everybody at the rehearsal, the day before a wedding, I tell everybody, hey, listen, tomorrow's really simple. It's about honoring this bride. Yeah, we're going to celebrate their love. We're going to make a vow before God, but we're going to honor that bride. And when she comes in, it's a big ordeal, right? I mean, you know, we seat grandparents, we seat parents, then comes the bridal party and the flower children and the ring mafia, whatever they are. And they all come, they all get in place. Yeah, that's all good. But even the music changes for this next thing. That's my favorite part. I just love looking at the audience and they're watching all the people get in place. And then all of a sudden, whatever the song is, old school is ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba. And the music changes, and if the mom doesn't do it, I look at the mom of the bride, I'm like, stand. And she stands, and then everybody stands, and everybody turns, because here comes the bride. Now, you guys might not experience it, because you turn to look the other way, but there's always a guy here. He's standing on my left side, and he's nervous. He's been nervous all, and I love it when they don't see each other. Because this is the first time he's seeing her. And I had a guy with me, and he was standing all, he was standing like way over here. And she started coming up these steps. You just see the top of her head, and I'm like, son, get over here. Get a good look. And I have him by the back of the neck, and almost every young man does the same thing. I don't even have to look at him. All I do is I hear this. And I'm like, easy, boy. Breathe. Breathe. They about pass out. Because when she's coming, man, she is in her full glory. That's as close as I can get to explain to you that Jude says the one thing about God is glory. All honor is due. You know what I tell the wedding parties? I tell them when she comes, we all follow her. I said, you want to know where you're supposed to stand, where you're supposed to look? It's easy. Your feet and your shoulders will always point at her. And as she comes down, you turn. So your feet and your shoulders are always facing it the whole day. It's about her. And Jude says, for us as believers, God is glory. We need to describe him, the honor he is due. Grab this real quick. Glory is the honor rightly ascribed to God for who he is and what he's done. It is the outshining of his character and nature. Daniel Aiken said that. Glory. The next thing is his majesty, to the God of majesty. What is majesty? Majesty is the greatness of God and reminds us of his rule as king, his majesty overall. Don't forget that God, his honor is due him, but majesty is his. Greatness is God's. What I would remind us of, why is Jude saying this? Because he is told us not to fall for false teachings. Teachings that maybe your evil desires. You're like, I don't want this to be a rule, so I'm just going to believe this. No, if God said it, that ends it. And he's saying, don't forget God's majesty. God is great. He is sovereign. We don't get to pick and choose. Have you ascribed God his glory? Have you ascribed God his majesty in your life? That's how he has shown his glory and majesty through us. And then to the God of dominion. What is dominion? It's power. Every time I see that word power in Scripture, it reminds me of dynamite. Dynamus in Scripture in Greek. It's where we get the term dynamite. God is powerful. All powerful. And then God's authority. It's his right. It is his authority, his right to rule. We don't get to second guess God and get to change God's plan for us. That's why it's so essential not to fall for false teaching and false teachers. Measured up to God's word, it has to be the last standard, right? I know the world doesn't like that, but we as believers better be careful that we understand that. Because it's within the church that I see believers all the time saying, yeah, but I... And we walk away from God's truth to do the things we want. Of course the world doesn't get it. They don't like a God who has the right and authority. It's kind of like the scale. Anybody go to get on the scale at the doctor's office? I hate that thing. Last time I went to the doctor's office, I don't know what I was thinking, but I rode my motorcycle that day. So I rode my motorcycle. So I walk in with my motorcycle boots and my leather jacket. And my gin, I'm like, man, I just added 15 pounds. I'm going to say it was 15 because of the... And when I walked up, she's like, okay, you're going to have to get on the scale. I just went to stripping. I'm just, okay, throwing my cell phone down. I'm unzipping my boots. And she's like, how far are you going to go? I'm like, well, let's test it and see. I don't know about you, but I get on that thing and I always think the same thought. You lie. I just want to point at that machine and say, you liar. I like my scale at home. I must have cranked it down a little bit. I don't know. When I get on that scale, I think, I don't know why it says minus 10. I don't know. But when I get on it, I like what my scale, but my doctor's scale is a liar. See, that's the world. The world doesn't want any authority. The world doesn't want anybody over them and truth. But that's what God is, and that's what his word is. It's the scale. It's the measurement. And remember what I've taught you. We don't measure up. So we need Jesus. That's what Jude is reminding us here. And then lastly, to the God of eternal praise. I love how Jude wraps this whole thing up. He says, To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, eyeballs here as I wrap this up. This is true. God's power, authority, might, and glory, it's been true since the beginning of time, in the past, in the recent past, in this current, and then in the future, forevermore. God ascribes praise. We should ascribe praise to God. All of this, by the way, I didn't leave this out, through Jesus. That's what Jude said. All of this through Jesus. Let me give you just something, and I'm going to have the team come up. Team, come up. Seven things believers should remind themselves every day. As I read this passage, I was reminded of this quick little guide. Seven things. God is my Father. Christ is my Savior. Heaven is my home. Scripture is my guide. Every believer is my family. The gospel is my message. God's glory is my goal. Amen. Let's ascribe to God who He is, sovereign, and put Him in that place, even in our lives, and live that out, guarding ourselves from falsehoods, standing against evil schemes, Jude called them, these wolves in sheep clothing. Don't fall for it, believer. And be careful what you're drawn to. Check yourself and ask, wait a second, what am I worshiping, following, obeying, all these issues? And then I want to end today by doing this. Would you stand with me as we go to sing our last song of worship? I want us to read that last part, the last verse of Jude together. I'm going to put it on the screen. Would you please read it with me, everybody out loud? To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before all ages, now and forevermore, amen and amen. Father God, may you keep us. We're thankful that you keep us and preserve us on our own. We are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The hymnists got it right when they said those words. Lord, we are a fickle people. Your people Israel, they were fickle. Thank you that you never quit on them. We, your church, we're fickle. God, help us, preserve us, keep us, guard us. Father, we're so thankful for who you are and that you've done the work. We are so blessed. May it bring us joy. May we bring you joy. In Jesus' name, amen.